This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is the Quality News Network. The U.S. Embassy in Azerbaijan promptly closed its doors today after authorities uncovered a radical Islamic terror plot to bring harm to, quote, individuals in and around the embassy, end quote. The British shut down their embassy nearby as a precaution as well. Turkey marked its National Day with a large public display of its firepower. The country unleashed 100,000 troops against the 3,000 Kurdish rebel fighters holed up in the mountainous region of northern Iraq. The Turkish army, second in size to NATO's armed forces, fired at the Kurds with tanks, artillery, planes, and helicopters. Late word is that up to 20 Kurds have been killed. The White House is trying to get the Iraqis and the Turks to continue talks to prevent the cross-border skirmishes. Despite criticism from King Abdullah that England is not doing enough to fight terrorism, UK Foreign Minister Kim Howells is calling for Britain and Saudi Arabia to work more closely together to fight international terrorism. The King's visit to London is the first from a Saudi monarch in 20 years. U.S.-led coalition has transferred the provincial security responsibilities in the Karbala province over to the Iraqis, marking the eighth province to be transferred over. The Karbala transfer is significant because it allows non-Iraqi Shia Muslim worship in the city of Karbala, a once forbidden practice under Saddam Hussein. In Baghdad, at least 10 prominent Sunni and Shiite sheikhs meeting to discuss the defeat of al-Qaeda and other extremists were kidnapped on their way home to the Diyala province. Also, in the Diyala province, a bicycle-riding suicide bomber killed at least 31 recruits at a police training center. French President Nicolas Sarkozy is now condemning the attempted removal of more than 100 children from the Chad Darfur region by 16 humanitarians. The aid workers said that they wanted to rescue the children. Chadanian officials said their goal was to take them for adoption. The humanitarians have been arrested. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert today announced that he has prostate cancer. He'll undergo surgery and remain in office. Argentina has its first female president. She is current First Lady and Senator, Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner. Word from Buenos Aires is that she won the election by a huge margin. You're listening to the Quality News Network. More next.
Looking to find the best in the USA? Come to Boulevards.com. We're the best address in city guides across the U.S. For the best information in travel, Boulevards.com gives you the most up-to-date choices for the best in dining, hotels, entertainment, adventure, and exciting tips to make your holiday the best it can be. Whether you're a local or just looking for great getaway tips, go to Boulevards.com and get the best. Be independent of search engines. Make your choices. We're Boulevards.com. Come visit us at SanFrancisco.com, SanJose.com, Carmel.com, WashingtonDC.com, PaloAlto.com, Seattle.com, Oakland.com, SanAntonio.com, Denver.com, and many more. We are Boulevards.com, the best in your visiting the USA. Come visit us at Boulevards.com.
The American Academy of Pediatrics is urging parents to test all children for autism twice before they turn age 2. There is no cure for the ever-increasingly prevalent disease, but early treatment helps. Archaeologists in Puerto Rico say they've found the largest and best-preserved Indian pre-Columbian site in the Caribbean. The ancient plaza is thought to have been used for games and rituals, may date as far back as 1500 A.D. The GAP claims it didn't know child slave labor was used to produce its clothing in sweatshops in India. A London newspaper brought the fact to light in a recent exposé. The FCC Wednesday is expected to change rules that allow a single cable TV company exclusive rights to service apartment complexes, permitting Increased competition is designed to lower consumer prices. The Fed meets tomorrow, and many analysts say the board can be expected to lower interest rates for the second time in a row. A new record in oil prices today in Asian markets this morning. The price of oil rose above $93 a barrel. Traders say they fear Middle East conflict, supply problems, and the weak U.S. dollar. Oil trading at $93.53 right now. Up $1.67 a barrel. The Dow was up 63.5 points at the close today, and the NASDAQ up 13, all on the news of the Fed meeting tomorrow. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Right. Oh, man. I was all set up, fired up to get the volume up there, and my throat betrayed me. That's right. It's time once again for the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker and anti-American policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Welcome, welcome. It's a chilly night here in Chicago, Chi-Town, the Windy City, city with the big shoulders, city of many names. Wonderful, beautiful city, Chicago. But it's a little chilly tonight. I'm sitting here in my bathrobe trying to warm up a little bit. We have old-style radiator heat in this house. Unfortunately, I don't have a radiator in my room. So when it gets cold, I guess I'm going to suffer. The landlord's going to bring one in. And I had to kick the cat out of the room. When I put the headphones on, the cat has this nasty habit of coming up to the cord and attacking it. You know how cats are. She starts biting it and clawing at it, and it's like, you know, the last thing I need is to have this audio go out. Is that right? Am I seeing this right in the chat room? I didn't know. You know, I don't really follow a lot of the economic stuff, but oil was $30 a barrel in 2001 when Bush took office. Is that right? And it's 93 now, closing in on 100. We guess we know whose bread he's buttered in, huh? I guess we know who butters his bread. Well, you know, it's just another day in America, and I am here to talk about all the things that go on in America that affect working people like you and me. I was not surprised to hear that slave labor story coming out of the news, coming, you know, before the show. What else is new? Slave labor in another part of the world. Slave labor in this country, too. And I don't want to think we're immune to that. But, you know, that's just one of the problems that we're facing. And this is a global economy. And people don't want to talk about it. People don't want to face that issue, but it's a global economy. And the truth of the matter is, for the moment, since there are no international labor standards, that's what a lot of companies are doing. Some countries have realized that outsourcing doesn't really work very well. And I want to relate this story very quickly because it's something I had personal dealings with when I was working for Siemens. The plant that we had closed down and went to Mexico. And there were already some parts that we were using to do our jobs that were coming from Mexico, and then the quality was very bad. And there was a gentleman there, a very nice Mexican gentleman that I was speaking to. He was one of the guys who was going to be in charge of training the Mexican workers when they moved the plant down there. And I said, you know, do you think, you know, after a time that the Mexicans will eventually start asking for more money and more benefits and things like that? He said, no, because a lot of these people, they just don't care. Now, I don't know what the truth of this is. Maybe this guy was BSing me, but you know, if that's the case, then that's pretty sad. And I've talked about this here in America where, you know, there's people who go to work and they care about their job, but they don't care about their work. You understand what I'm saying? I'm sure you see these people all the time. They care about their job. They just care about going to a place and getting a paycheck, and that's it. But they're really not interested in putting any quality in the work, putting in the effort into work. And, you know, and that's just the way it is. And they don't have a lot of education down there in Mexico. I'm speaking out of hearsay. I really don't know the entire truth. I mean, like I said, that guy could have been BSing me something awful. But I think it's kind of a shame. And a lot of companies wind up bringing people back. I know Germany was doing a lot of outsourcing, and they're winding up bringing manufacturing jobs back into Germany because the level of skill they were getting and the quality of the product they were getting from other sources wasn't simply up to their standards. The same thing with the Japanese. The Japanese have been starting to bring a lot of the stuff that they've been outsourcing to Vietnam in China and other places because quality wasn't as good as the quality they were getting from the Japanese workers. And that's very important. And I think America's finally going to come to realize that, too. But, you know, the gap, slave labor, you know, slave labor in the fabric, that's not the right, the textile industry, thank you. That's kind of always been a steady thing, it seems to me. I mean, I remember the movie Norma Rae, and I hate to use, you know, fictional movies as an account, but Norma Rae is still one of my favorite movies. And it's not like these things don't happen to people. But the textile industry here in this country, that's, you know, whether or not you're talking about actual slave labor, where people have been kidnapped, and they've uncovered that here in this country. I remember the whole thing with Katie Couric, whoever that host was, found out that in this shop that she would... That you know, she had something to do with, and they found out they were using slave labor there. So, you know, she was a big thing on TV. She's going out there distributing checks. At any rate, I'm not surprised. And I think companies are going to learn in the long run that they're really not doing themselves any good by doing this. And it's no good for the rest of the world. And I've talked about this before. People who don't earn enough money to buy stuff, you can't run a consumer economy if people aren't earning enough. I mean, that's the plain fact of it. I mean, I don't know why people tend to ignore this reality. Yeah, I know people are just greedy bastards sometimes, but that's a very strict reality. Even Henry Ford, who was a fascist, literally, supported the Nazi Party before we were at war with them, was a big believer in fascism. Even he understood that basic premise. And that's why a lot of us are suffering right now. We're making, you know, oil, like I just mentioned, oil is triple what it was, a barrel, in the 6 years since Bush got into office. I hate to say elected because he really wasn't elected, but since he got into office, you know, the price of gas has tripled. Have our salaries kept pace with that? No, of course not. And I've said this before, whenever you hear an economist, there are two words that economists use that when they use it, I want to just punch them in the mouth. And the first one is inflation. Because when these guys talk about inflation, they're not talking about, you know, price inflation. They're talking about wage inflation. They hate inflation. They hate the idea of people making money. Okay? Period. They hate the idea of people making money. That's the plain, unvarnished truth of the whole deal. And the other word that they use that really pisses me off is productivity. I hate that word. Whenever an economist uses the word productivity, there ought to be a law that says we're allowed to kick him in the nuts. If it's a female economist, I don't know, maybe whack her in the back of the head with a not particularly hard object, like, you know, maybe a little Three Stooges whack on the head with something. You know, because basically, when they're talking about productivity, what it means for us is that you're working your ass off, you're working harder and harder, and making less money. That's what productivity means. And all this talk about how American workers are more productive than their European counterparts because Europeans make, you know, they get 4 to 6 weeks paid vacation a year, 4 to 6 weeks. When I was working at Siemens, there were people who've been there 35, 40 years, and even they didn't get more than like 3 weeks. Hell, when I was a private in the Army, I got more paid leave than in most jobs. You got 30 days a year. You get 1 month a year, basically, 4 weeks. So you're telling me a guy who was working 45 years in a manufacturing plant, and there were people who had been working 45 years at that plant in Siemens, they didn't get as much vacation benefits as a private in the Army, the lowest rank you can get. And that's pretty sickening. But I wanted, you know, I've got some other things to talk about, but I wanted to bring that up because I think it's so important for us to realize that this race to the bottom. And I spoke with the gentleman who was the communications director for the Teamsters at that yearly Coast Convention, and I asked him about that. And I said, you know, what do you think the answer is? Do you think we can get, you know, we can get something for our brothers and sisters? And he said, yeah, we have to do that. Because the best protection for American workers, and he's absolutely right, the best protection for American workers is to have people all over the world living better lives, making more money. That's the best protection we can get. Now, I don't have a problem with companies moving to another country if they think it's more efficient for business. I mean, if Ford wants to build a plant in, you know, Frankfurt, Germany, because it's cheaper for them to build it there and to sell it to Germans rather than building it here and shipping it over, hey, I'm fine with that. That's cool. That's business. But if they're moving over there because, you know, if they're moving to another country because there's less regulations and because they can pay people less money, that's not a reason to move. And the only way we can do that is to have some sort of real, true global labor standards, because we do have a global economy. The banks, the big corporations, all these things that operate multinationally, they are all organized to a certain extent with each other. And they have their goals, and they have their plans and ways of doing things. And they take advantage of the fact that the laws are different place to place. If we had a single global political body, it would be a different story. And I know people tell, oh, New World Order, you know. Well, you know, could it possibly be any worse than what we have now? I mean, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all the ships at sea, I talk about my personal situation. I'm not doing very well, money wise. I was out of work, and I do have a job, but it doesn't pay a lot. I do have a new job, and I'm trying to get a second job. And you know, I'm really struggling here. I mean, I'm sleeping under a mattress. I don't have any kind of furniture. I'm negative $200 in the bank. I've got a $160 electric bill I just got in the mail that's basically held over from last month because I didn't pay last month's. And I haven't paid my phone bill yet. Hell, I can't even raise the $15. Somebody sent me $15, but because they took out, it was just short so I can get my domain name renewed. Okay? That's how bad off I am. But you know what? I'm still better off than millions of people in this country because I at least have a roof over my head. It may be an air mattress, but it's still something to sleep on. And I'm better off than most people in the world. I live in America, and even the very poor in America, in some cases, are better off than the very poor in some areas. Hey, we don't live in a war zone here. Okay, I'm not living in Iraq. So it could be a lot worse, and I hate to say it because you don't want to jinx it. You know? Let's take a little break here. I got a couple other topics to talk about. If you want to call in, if you want to have something to talk about, if you got something you want to talk about, the number to call in 304-658-5453, 304-658-5453. Let's call 877-443-236. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Sounds every Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. You'll hear the latest in new music releases, special segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications with the sassy and classy Erica Richards. For requests and dedications, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. So tune in and stop by the chat room this Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Hey, Thanks for lending an ear.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Cleaned up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I could do everything here.
Yeah.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
And we're back here at the WJO Radio Show once again. And that's a humble host, Joe Vecchio. Working man, stinking man. Voice of those who have been unvoiced. Say it again, if you want to give me a call. If you got something you want to talk about. I'm always open for new stuff. I do have some things to talk about tonight. But if you really want to call me, if you got an issue you want to discuss, give me a call, 304-658-5453, 304-658-5453, or the toll-free number, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And I wanted to talk about this, by the way, first of all, congratulations to the Boston Red Sox for winning the second World Series in 4 years after a drought of 80-something years and the curse of the Bambino and all that. They are truly turning into one of the powerhouse dynasties. And the way that team is looking, they could probably win another one in the next couple of years very easily. They've got a very good team. I think if they keep that pitching staff intact and they've got a couple of good young kids leading off, and if you can keep David Ortiz and Manny Ramirez together, those guys can stay around. And my friend John Fox, who was in the Head On Radio Network chat room. And by the way, you can get in the Head On Radio Network chat room by going to headonradionetwork.com, clicking on the live chat link, and then you can talk to some of the smartest peoples on the internet. And we have a lot of good people there. Several of our hosts are hanging out there, apart from myself, our good friend Billy Shears, who does his thing Saturday night. My boss and my good friend Bob Kincaid is there. I'm there. ELO is there. Frozen Soul is there. John Fox, who will be starting a week from tonight. And I'll bring that up again at the end of the show. But John Fox will be following me starting a week from tonight. Our good friend Lauder J. Nanette on the road. Of course, Pete Godbold, who was prior to me on the Head On Network. And our good friend Ralph. So everybody hanging out there in the chat room. But John is like, screw the Red Sox. I hate the Red Sox. And John Fox is apparently a Yankees fan. And John, I hate to tell you this, but I grew up in New York City. I grew up in Brooklyn. And I grew up a Mets fan. I hate the Yankees. Okay? As far as I'm concerned, as far as I'm concerned, the baseball season doesn't start until the Yankees get eliminated, okay? That's how much I hate. Let me tell you how much I hate the Yankees. I hate the Yankees more than I hate the Dallas Cowboys. And I hate the Dallas Cowboys, okay? That's the truth of the matter. So, actually, the team I kind of sort of root for now is the Atlanta Braves because I live down there. I lived down there for so many years, and I actually started watching them in the early 1980s. So I was watching them for a very, very long time. So, the Red Sox won the series, and you know, I don't have a lot of hatred for the Red Sox, although they have like the second highest payroll in baseball. But I wanted to talk about this because this is something that really kind of hacks me off about a lot of sports these days. And something that I just recently found out about the Colorado Rockies that doesn't make me happy. Now, apparently, the Colorado Rockies, and this is I got this via the Sideshow, I believe. Let me get to the right deal. This is from FT Progressive. Is that right? FL Progressive, Florida Progressive, flprogressive.blogspot.com, and I got this via Atrios, or I got it via somebody, okay? But I was not aware of this. This is the name of the post is Root for the Lord's Team. If they don't win, it's Satan's fault. And apparently, the Colorado Rockies, the owner and the general manager and the field manager, are all hardcore born-again Christians, and they actively seek out Christians to be on their baseball team. And according to this article, which was in the Sport, an English paper of all things. Of course, you're only going to get that in a British paper. Let me quote some of this. The team's chief executive is a born-again Christian. So is the general manager and the team coach. Their two star players, along with many other members of their regular lineup, are not only believers but attend team-organized Bible studies. The team doesn't like to talk about it much, mainly because the overlords of Major League Baseball don't think it's good for business, but they have an explicit policy to recruit as many Christian ballplayers as they can. In other words, the Rockies, uniquely even in a country as religion-obsessed as America, play faith-based baseball. And in their view, God just rewarded them big time, and I'll talk about that in a second. You look at some of the moves we made and didn't make, General Manager Dan O'Dowd said in the only interview he has given on the subject, long before the Rockies' remarkable ascension over the past few weeks. You look at some of the games we're winning. Those aren't just a coincidence. God definitely had a hand in this. For those of you who aren't aware, let me get down to the more details of what he's talking about as far as what the Rockies accomplished. A few weeks before the season ended, the Rockies were actually one strike away from being eliminated from the postseason altogether. And they wound up winning that game, and they won in a remarkable streak of something like 21 of 22 games heading into the World Series to not only get into the playoffs but to sweep their playoff series against Arizona, and against who did they play? They swept two series, and they went and they were so fast that because the Red Sox wound up playing a 7-game series against the team they were playing. And damn it, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the names of the teams, but the Red Sox wound up playing 7 games, so the Rockies had like 8 days off. And anybody tell you a hot team, you get a lot of time off, that can mess you up pretty bad. But at any rate, then they ran into the buzzsaw that are the Boston Red Sox this year. And if God had a hand in them getting to the World Series, couldn't you possibly say that God had a hand in making them lose? I mean, isn't it, you know, I think that's, first of all, I think it's patently ridiculous to think that God gives a damn in any way, shape, or form about who wins the World Series, who wins any game. Okay? I don't think God cares about that. I remember a few years back, Trot Nixon, who now plays with the Cleveland Indians, that's who Boston was playing, and they were down 3-1 to Cleveland, and they came back to win. But Trot Nixon is a hardcore born-again Christian, and he would play for the Red Sox for a while. I remember when he hit a home run, and they had an interview. It was a big home run, won a game for the Red Sox, playoff game, and they had an interview with him, and he said, "Well, it wasn't me who swung the bat, it was Jesus." And I was like, that's the most ridiculous thing. You know, I want to throw things at TV set. when I see players do that. How dare they imply that God favors one team over another? If God is concerned, and you know me, I'm an agnostic, okay? God is not concerned about winning and losing. God would be concerned maybe that everybody was playing fairly and everybody was playing as hard as they could, doing their best, and that nobody would get hurt. You know, and you know, that would be the things that God would care about, I would imagine. But who wins? What the hell does God care who wins? Why does God favor one team over another? It's ridiculous. The Los Angeles Dodgers, many years back, their pitching staff was a lot of born-again Christians, led by Oral Hershiser. And there are fundamentalist Christians on the Red Sox, too. And they always try to present it. Well, it's something wrong with you if you didn't do it. That's a bunch of crap. The Colorado Rockies won. They got into the playoffs because they were on a roll. They were hot. They were playing well at the right time. Okay? But the teams that are in the National League really don't match up. If you follow baseball, and I do follow baseball to a certain extent, it's fairly easy to see that the teams in the National League simply do not match up with the teams in the American League. And that's the plain truth of it. In Boston, you know, this is a very, very good team. Yes, they spend a lot of money. Some teams do very well without spending a lot of money. The Rockies are one. The Minnesota Twins are another. And some teams do very badly even spending a lot of money. The New York Yankees, for example, have the biggest payroll in baseball. And while they had a really, really good second half, the truth of the matter is they finished in second place and were swept in the playoffs. No, they weren't swept. They won one game against Cleveland themselves. So they weren't exactly tearing the world on fire in the playoffs for all that money that was spent. But the point is, God doesn't care. Michael Chang, my good friend in the Bard Cop chat room, FUD, F-U-D, he talked about Michael Chang, the tennis player, who whenever he won a tennis, you know, whenever he won a big match or a big thing, he was, oh, Jesus won and it is one. No, it wasn't. You won it, Michael. You know, and it's just like, what's your problem? God doesn't care about that sort of thing. God has much more important things to worry about, I'm certain. Now, if God does really care about that, I think that's saying a hell of a lot for God, to be perfectly honest. And it really, really bugs me when you see players give a little prayer before they take, you know, basketball players give a little, you know, cross, sign of the cross before they take a shot. And what was it, The Onion, that great satiric newspaper, had one where an athlete was angry with Jesus for letting him down and missing a big shot in a basketball game. Because that's what it really boils down to, is it? When Trot Nixon talked about it was Jesus that hit that ball, I said, well, did Jesus make that error and you made in the fifth inning? Did Jesus make you strike out? You know, is that Jesus or is that you? And people who have that kind of mindset just really drive me up a wall. Because, you know, you can't argue with them. Because, first of all, it's such an idiotic suggestion to think that God gets down in such details about that. I mean, I'm an agnostic, and I talk about my agnosticism, and I talk about it in the sense of whatever is out there that is beyond the plane of existence that we recognize, that we see and feel and hear with our senses and all that. Whatever there is out there, whatever truth there is about that, you're not going to find it through organized religion. That's really what I believe more than anything else. I'm not an atheist. An atheist flat out says there is no God. My feeling is, you know, God, whatever...
The Head On Radio Network. Thank you.
approved a plan that would increase the fees placed on companies who bring in skilled workers from other countries. The measure would bump the fee to $3,500. Meanwhile, the European Union has stepped closer to issuing a blue card, which would make it easier for professionals from countries outside of the EU to accelerate through the visa process. The money raised from the new increased fees in the U.S. would be used for math, science, and engineering scholarships.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
David Lee Roth. That's the karaoke version of Just the Gigolo. Great song, great video. I'm not necessarily a big fan of David Lee Roth, but that was really a great video in particular, and a great song by him. I love that kind of mix of rock and blues like that. Really go boom, ba-doom, ba-doom. I like the music that I use. That's all the bumper music that's on my show is stuff that I picked out myself. Karaoke songs that I acquired from different sources. Shh. And I always try to get ones that sound like the actual song. There's a lot of, if you do any kind of karaoke, and my wife and I loved karaoke. If you do any karaoke, you know that a lot of it is just this really, really crap. It's some idiot with my first Casio keyboard. Me. Sounds like crap. And I don't like that. More often, we used to sing karaoke all the time. But we recognized the fact that we sucked. So we didn't sing to anybody but ourselves. So. Paul Krugman has an article today. And by the way, for those of you who aren't aware of this, the New York Times has removed their shield wall. Now, all of their editorials are once again available for anyone. You do have to register, but registering is free. And so anybody can read these articles now. You don't have to be a member. I maintained the membership surreptitiously through somebody else. Another person bought a membership and spread the information out to numerous people. So I still got to read Paul Krugman's articles. And that's really about the only thing that I was reading. I was Paul Krugman, but mostly I was just kind of ignoring.
Excuse me.
Apologize for that, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I was up at 6 o'clock this morning, so that's why, or 6:30 this morning, so. What the hell was I saying? Any rate, New York Times, you don't have to pay to read these editorials now, and really it's really not worth reading for the most part, with a few exceptions. You know, entertainment and stuff like that, you can read that because that's not political stuff. But political stuff I just ignore, except for Paul Krugman, who's one of the best ones. And I really, really liked his article in particular today. And I really don't know what's going to happen with this next election. And let me talk about that for a second before I get into the larger issue here about what the Republicans are and what they're doing along those lines. I have been waiting, as I've said before, for Al Gore to throw his hat into the ring, and it's quite possible that he won't throw his hat into the ring. Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network main site, headonradionetwork.com, wrote a really, really good article comparing Al Gore to John Galt, the fictional character from Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged, one of the worst books ever written, as far as I'm concerned, and one of the biggest excuses that people have to justify their own greed and their own selfishness. But, we probably don't deserve Al Gore, to be perfectly honest. He was kind of rejected by the professional elites in this country because, you know, he wasn't one of them. And, you know, to the little whiny-ass titty baby squad, if you're not really one of them, and if you're not, you know, a pretend to be tough guy like Mr. Bush, they don't want to know you, you know, and it's all gossip and garbage, as Carl Bernstein calls it, and they attacked him mercilessly. But Krugman was talking about how, and he was comparing, of course, Franklin Roosevelt, one of the greatest speeches in American history, his first inaugural address, and how he talked about the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, and you know, you hear the words and you try to grasp what he's talking about. And a lot of what he was talking about was that the idea of the government taking a much bigger hand in the economy than it previously had. Up until the New Deal, even with some of the progressive policies that came into place under Theodore Roosevelt and the first progressive wave, the government basically, their idea of handling business was basically to protect corporate interests over interests of citizens. And that was the way the people in power wanted it, and that was, you know, that was the way the money people wanted it, and they had the money, they could buy the politicians, they could run things the way they are. What's going on in this country now is not that different from what's been going on before. The big difference is that we've got massive amounts of nukes and we could spread a lot of military might all over the world, as we're doing in Iraq, as we're talking about doing in Iran, and I hope to God we never do that. Because if that happens, if you think things are bad now, then you ain't seen nothing yet. But all the Republican Party has at this point is fear. And it's really the only thing they've had to sell since the New Deal. Because if you look at where the Republicans got their power base, they used fear of communism in particular, with Joe McCarthy. While it was the Democratic administration that got us into Vietnam, it was certainly the conservatives and the Republicans who were, you know, the ones that were most for it. And as usual, you had your chicken hawks, guys like John Wayne and John Wayne's sons, who were open advocates for the war and yet refused to go and fight it. Cowards, as always. You know, I have a lot more difficulty now watching a John Wayne movie because of that. And it's really a shame because, you know, he's a good screen presence, but it just, and I'm sure, you know, the right feels the same way about the George Clooney's and the other people in the world, or maybe the Paul Newman's, because, you know, Paul Newman is a great, great actor and a very, very strong liberal voice, and he makes some of the best food products out there. I mean, they're a little pricey, but man, it's really, really good, the stuff that he puts out. But anyway, the point that Paul Krugman was pointing out is that what the Republicans have to sell is fear. And one of the big things they're pointing out, and I think the week is finally finished, it says it was supposed to be Islamofascism Awareness Week. And I think that idiot, that insane David Horowitz was the one who was behind this. And Krugman says it straight out. I'll read what he talked about. And in fact, some of the Republican candidates, Rudy Giuliani in particular, has hired Mr. Norman Pothurst, who was one of the major neocons in the country, who openly advocates war with the Middle East, with anybody in the Middle East, I guess. But he tells us that, according to Mr. Pothurst, and from Krugman's article, Iran is the main center of the Islamofascist ideology against which we have been fighting since 9/11. The Islamofascists, he tells us, are well on their way toward creating a world shaped by their will and tailored to their wishes. Indeed, already some observers are warning that by the end of the 21st century, the whole of Europe will be transformed into a place to which they give the name Eurabia. Mr. Pothurst is insane. And if Rudy Giuliani gets elected president, this is a guy who's going to have a very, very powerful and important position as far as who we're going to declare war on next. Because once the Republicans get in there, you know we're going to declare a war on somebody, for crying out loud. And of course, the Republicans like to beat up on little countries. Where was that the Reagan beat up on? The Falkland Islands? No, that was the British. That was Margaret Thatcher. You know, of course, you got to have war on somebody. Of course, we had the first Gulf War under the first Bush, and Clinton had Bosnia because Clinton had to prove his military. Of course, you know, that was much more necessary. And hey, that was done correctly. There's no rioting in Bosnia going on, is there? How many American soldiers died in Bosnia? Zero. You know, at least if you're going to do it right. And of course, George Bush comes in, and guess what? We're at war with Iraq again. Woohoo! Oh boy, oh Nelly, we're going to do it. You going to send your daughters out to fight, George? Oh, hell no. That's your job. We continue to quote Paul Krugman here. For one thing, there isn't actually any such thing as Islamofascism. It's not an ideology. It's a figment of neocon imagination. The term came into vogue only because it was a way for our Iraq hawks to gloss over the awkward transition from pursuing Osama bin Laden, who attacked America, to Saddam Hussein, who didn't. And Iran had nothing whatsoever to do with 9/11. In fact, the Iranian regime was quite helpful to the United States when it went after al-Qaeda and its Taliban allies in Afghanistan. Now, I've talked about this before. I've said this time and time again. There were numerous reasons they wanted to go to war with Iraq. And a big part of it was the neocon obsession with controlling the Middle East and controlling the energy, controlling the oil. He controls the spice, controls the universe. Oh, let me take a phone call here. Sorry about this, Jim, you know, because I get on a rant like that and I don't necessarily look at what Bob's trying to tell me. So, Jim, hi, how you doing?
All right, Joe, how you doing?
Fine, glad I can get you on. I'm sorry to keep you waiting.
Well, listen, as far as your air mattress is concerned, I slept on a couple of those. As a matter of fact, I slept in a bed that was made out of a parachute hanging from a tree. So I can identify with you there, buddy.
Well, that sounds comfortable. And actually, you know, the air mattress is quite comfortable once, you know, so long as it doesn't have a leak on it. It's actually a very comfortable bed, so I'm happy with it.
See, the trouble with my air mattress was my cat trying to get up on top of it and would poke holes in it.
Oh, yeah.
There I'd be down on the floor again.
I think that's what happened with mine here. The cat likes to jump on it, and she sleeps on it sometimes. And I try to shoo her off, but you know how cats are with beds.
I know. Well, listen, I just want to wish you well and hope things get better for you. And I agree with a lot of what you say, some of which I don't agree, but that's okay. We can agree to disagree. But I just hope that things get better for you, and I hope that pendulum's going to start swinging back the other way so a lot more people can benefit from what's going on than, well, what's happening now, that's for sure.
Well, you know, I think things will eventually get better. I am an optimist in the long run, but I think things got to get a lot worse before that happens, and I really kind of feel that. So we'll just see what happens. I mean, there's nothing I can do apart from just telling people what I think we ought to be doing. So, friggy diggy.
Well, that's very true. That's very true. It may have to get worse. Apparently, the signs are pointing that way, and I don't know. But anyway, you just try to keep.
Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.